All right, it's Friday, December 9th, Discovering Victory Podcast.
We made it through another one.
Made it to another week. It's pretty amazing. So we had an amazing summer season.
Yeah.
And, well, we're still in this year.
Yeah.
Dr. Crawford Loretz finally made it to America's Cousin.
That was so
now,
good.
He spoke years ago at a pastor's conference, but we have been asking him for 20-some years to come and speak, and it finally happened.
Yeah.
And it was such an exciting week, and to have he and Karen here was just amazing. So we're going to share part one from Dr. Crawford Loretz's Sunday evening message, week two, right from the pulpit of America's Keswick in the Robert Hayes Auditorium. Mm-hmm. Let's listen.
Boy, what a joy it is to be here with you. I tell you, I'm fighting back tears hearing those testimonies of life change and how the Lord Jesus can take and reach us and turn us around. And it's not where you've been, it's where you're going that matters, and Jesus is with you. What a great, great joy it is to be here with you. And I'm glad to have my bride with me. We've celebrated last year our 50th wedding anniversary, and so, Yeah, she's the joy of my life. We met in college. I got to tell you that story. It was the summer between my freshman and sophomore year in college. About 2 weeks before I came back on campus, my high school sweetheart broke up with me. Now, she kicked me to the curb. Can you imagine somebody getting rid of all of this? Yeah. And you said, yeah, I can see that. And so I came back on campus, and I was hurting. I was hurting big time. I was on my knees in my dorm room. I said, Lord, no more women. They mess you up every time. And this semester, I need time to heal and just you and me, Jesus. And I'm going to stay focused on my studies and keep my mind where it needs to be and not to be distracted or deterred in any way. I'm not going to date anybody. I just need time to focus. I got up off my knees and left the dorm room, and my mind was made up, and people who know me know that I can be fairly focused when my mind is made up. So I was walking down the street to this other building on campus, and my mind filled with this deep-seated, stalwart, single-minded commitment to Jesus, not to be distracted or deterred or disrupted in any way. Going to stay focused, Doc. So I threw open the doors, and I saw this young lady. I don't know what happened. I got healed instantly. Now, you know he can do that, right? Instantly, the burdens were gone. And I said, my, what have we here? And so my she was new on campus, and my mama taught me to be hospitable to strangers. And so I said, Ma, I'm Crawford Loretz, and what's your name? She told me her name is Karen Williams. I said, well, you know, you're new on campus, and I'm your tour guide. So I've been showing her around now for more than 50 years. So it's just, she's a joy. She's the absolute joy of my life, and it's just really, really been a blessing and a great, great journey. Now let me get something out of the way here. I want to say this right up front here. How many of you are sleepy? Just tell the truth. You're sleepy right now? Well, here's the deal. If you are sleepy, I want to encourage you, please go ahead and go to sleep while I'm speaking. I've slept on the best of them. I mean, so what goes around comes around, right? So you just go ahead and sleep. And I can see far more than you think I can see. And I just want to say it. Listen, don't get upset with this, but y'all ugly when you fight sleep. So don't fight it. I mean, you look horrible when you fight it. We got room. You can lay down and whatever you need to do. But don't. And please don't do this. Don't do this. You know, that's distracting. Just go ahead and go to sleep. And the other one is, by all means, don't do this number, okay? Pretending as if you're reading or praying. Now we got character issues. That's lying, right? So just go ahead and go to sleep and, you know, it'll be fine. I mean, you need to get something out of this. If you can't get the word, then get some rest, okay? But so you say it was good that I was here. I'm really refreshed. But, you know, I pray about what I should speak on at places. And there's a series that this summer I'm leaning toward. Speaking and preaching is not speech making. It's not a matter of somebody coming up and just pulling something out of the air. Your life is too valuable. This moment is too important. And whenever someone opens the book, it's a word from God for the people at a moment in history, and that the Holy Spirit wants to intercept our lives. And so I feel led this week to talk about prayer. I'm going to do four messages on prayer, but tonight I'm going to do something different. A portrait of effective prayer. And I want to talk about that. It's probably the most difficult of all disciplines to be consistent at. And yet at the same time, I don't know how prayer works. And anybody who tells you that they know how prayer works, stay away from them. It is a grand mystery that's filled with things that God has not given us closure to. But we do know that it works. And that we're to be in dependence upon Him. And so I'm going to be going through this acronym, ACTS, Adoration, Confession, Thanksgiving, and Supplication. But tonight I want to talk about arguably the most familiar passage in the entire Bible. We know this by heart, most of us. If you've been a follower of Jesus any longer than 2 or 3 months, you have heard this text quoted many, 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 many times. It is a great passage. However, sometimes familiarity causes us to be a little sloppy. Sometimes because we know something by heart, we think we know what's coming next, and we lose the spiritual equity of what's being said. And so I want to talk this evening about Psalm 23, the joy of his rest. The joy of his rest. But before we do that, let's bow our heads together for a word of prayer. Holy Father, we thank you for your Spirit. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you've done in our hearts and lives. And we thank you for this moment. Father, we pray in the name of your Son that you'll speak to us. Speak to us. I'm acutely aware of the fact that nobody needs to hear my miscellaneous ramblings about anything. Nobody needs to hear my stories or jokes or none of that. But God, we can't make it without a word from you. So Lord God, I pray in the name of your Son that you'll make your word clear. I also ask you in Jesus' name that I would not say anything that would be an undue distraction to what you want to say and what you want to do in our hearts and lives. God, meet our needs. Part of my frustration each time I speak is that I don't know the particular stress, struggle, and strain that my brothers and sisters are laboring under. But we do know that you know. You know all things. So Spirit of the living God, intercept us and help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. This is an incredible text of Scripture. You've heard it quoted many, many times. As a pastor, I've quoted this in hospital rooms. When members of our church was going through tragedy, the untimely death of a child, uncertainty, Psalm 23 comes to mind. This passage is even quoted quite often as prisoners on death row are marching toward their execution. Often the chaplain will be walking in front of them, quoting the words of Psalm 23. It is a powerful psalm. It's a psalm of God's supernatural intervention and care that cascades down around all of us. But I want to walk through the psalm with you today, this evening, because the psalm begins by a statement that presupposes a decision. You can quote Psalm 23 all day long and it not have an impact on you until you realize that the opening line presupposes a decision that opens up your ability to receive the promised provision of the rest of the psalm. David makes a statement that we get sloppy with, but he makes a statement. He says, now hear me, this is the thesis of the psalm. This opening line is the thesis of the psalm. And everything else that comes from that is an extension of that thesis. The psalm says, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I then therefore shall not want, or the Hebrew would suggest, you can alternate translation, I shall not have lack of anything. Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd. In your Bibles, that word Lord should be in all caps. Look at your Bible. It should be in all caps. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. If it's not in all caps in your Bible, you probably need to go get online in Amazon and get another Bible. And the reason why that word is in all caps, and I don't want to bore you this evening, but this is terribly important. The reason why that word is in all caps is because it's the unspeakable word. What do you mean by that, Crawford? Well, when the scribes began to translate the Bible, they came across this one word, and they would not spell it all out. They would use an abbreviation. In the Hebrew, phonetically, the abbreviation is something like Yahweh, Yahweh. We get the English transliteration Jehovah from that, but technically there's no such word as Jehovah. It is an English transliteration of an abbreviation, Yahweh. You say, well, why is that important? Hang in there. I promise you I'm going somewhere. The reason why that is important is because it's the name of God that was only used when God would condescend and identify with the human predicament. When Elohim, the great God of the universe, would step out of his position and come down and walk in our mess and identify with us. So David says, the Lord is my shepherd. Who is the Lord? The composite picture, all of his attributes, all of his power, everything that he is, he, that one, is my shepherd. That ought to take your breath away. Not some highly skilled, highly educated, competent human being who has great desires and maybe resources, but he can't change his life or your life. The Lord, the one who can say, give me back my breath. The Lord is my shepherd. Now again, this presupposes, it doesn't say it, but it presupposes a decision. It presupposes a decision. To make that statement, what David is saying is that no, he's not my co-pilot. He's not my partner. I have taken my life under his sovereign control. I've yielded myself completely to him. You cannot experience the power of God until you give up your own resources and your own self-reliance. The Lord is my shepherd. Therefore, I shall not want. I shall not lack anything. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, based upon that, the rest of the psalm, he gives us four categories of extraordinary provision. Now, the psalm is not exhaustive. David does not mean to say that, he doesn't mean to say that this is all that God gives to us, but he gives us these four amazing categories of his provision. The Lord is my shepherd, therefore I shall not want. The first category of his provision is that he gives us comfort. Comfort. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now hang in there. I don't mean to be so granular here, but these words are so pregnant with implication. They're amazing. The very first thing he says under this banner of comfort is that he makes me lie down in green pastures. The very wording here is poetic. He says, I am in his flock. And he loves me and he cares for me. And so what he does is that he makes me lie down in lush green pastures. The implication is that he gives me more than I need to eat. There's plenty for me right here. And then secondly, there's beauty all around me. He says, "Oh, shh, stop, settle down, Crawford. What? No, 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 no. Put the phone down. Close the computer. I can't green pasture so far. I just want you to lay down and absorb my comfort." Then he says he leads me beside still waters. Now, this is not to be taken as a stagnant pool. But what he means by still waters here is it's quiet, engaging. Like all you can hear is the slow moving of a sweet brook. Get the noise out. He leads me here. I want to refresh you. I want to draw you in. Shh. Quiet. Quiet. You know, the longer I walk with the Lord, the more I realize, the more I walk with Him, the longer I've been a believer, the less volume He uses to speak to me. He doesn't need to raise His voice. I need a quiet mind. And He leads me beside these refreshing waters. God is always trying to refresh us. The problem is that we're too busy. You see, you cannot receive His comfort until you relinquish your control. Did you hear what I just said? For those of you who are high control freaks, you're never going to receive His comfort, paradoxically, until you relinquish your control. He leads me beside these still, wonderful, engaging waters. He says He restores my soul. He puts me back together. But I want you to notice the order here. The green pasture, He makes me lie down. He leads me beside this quiet stream that pulls me in. And now He restores my soul. You can't have restoration until you slow down. You can't be refreshed until you pause. And this is what the shepherd wants to do. He leads me this way. Then he says, He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. That could have been translated, He leads me in right paths for His name's sake. It's a reference to why we exist. We exist for the honor and glory of God. God does not exist to translate our vision to reality. Did you hear what I just said? God does not exist to translate our visions to reality. We exist to do His bidding and to do His will. And so when we settle down, calm down, and realign ourselves to get behind the shepherd, He always leads us in right paths. Your life takes on depth and meaning and purpose because you're aligned with the shepherd. And that's His comfort. He says, I want to comfort you. Why are you fighting me? Why are you struggling with me? Why are you resisting me? The first category is His provision. It's comfort. The second category of His provision, this is remarkable, it's protection. When you read your Bible, notice the connecting words. Sometimes we snatch verses out of context and it doesn't end well because it leads us to a place where the author didn't really intend for us to be. And he contrasts this. He says, even though, what do you mean, even though? He's getting ready to introduce something that is powerful, that's not beyond the shepherd's control. Remember, the Lord, Yahweh, the Lord. Yahweh, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And so He gives me this category of comfort, but now He gives me protection. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the inference is simply this: even though things are overwhelming and it seems like everything's falling apart and there is no exit, I'm in a very dark place. A couple of months ago, I was in Israel. I've been there like six or seven times, and I all these trips, I never heard this from a guide. We were coming up from Galilee, going into Jerusalem, and the guide made this observation. He looked out and he said, "By the way, that place over there probably is what David was referring to in Psalm 23. That place over there is known as the Valley of the Shadow of Death. It's a literal place." And I quickly glanced out the window and I thought to myself, my goodness, I can see this. I can see this. The place really is a ravine that was overhung by high cliffs and dense forests. Predators could hide there. Danger lurks. And David says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Some of you here this evening, you're there. You're afraid to wake up tomorrow morning because of what's going to face you. There's uncertainty. You've got doctor's reports. You've got issues going on. There's stuff that's suspended in your life, and you're there. You're scared to death. David did not write these words in a theoretical position. I don't know where this psalm comes chronologically, because the psalms are not necessarily chronological. But we do know that David ran from Saul for 16 years, hiding out in caves. David knew what it was like to be on the run. He knew what it was like to be in enemy territory. He knew what it was like for people to come after him, to want to kill him. And by the way, his own son wanted him very dead. And he says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, hear him. He says, I fear no evil. Why does he not fear evil? Listen to the preposition. For you, who? Yahweh, the Lord, for you. You are with me. It's not what I have, it's who I have. I don't just have a powerful person. I've got the God of the universe. He is with me. Not only is his person with him, his provision is with him. He says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. David knew about rods and staffs. He was a shepherd boy. The rod was used to drive predators away. And he knew that our great God has never lost a battle. He knew that his life was, he was invincible. That David was invincible until his time was up. Every last one of us, we have an expiration date stamped on us. But until that expiration date, nothing can happen to you. But your rod and your staff, you're going to drive the predators away. And that staff was used to rescue me. When I slipped and fell, you're going to pull me back. Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd. It's not my competence. It's not my abilities. It's not the books that I've written. The Lord, Yahweh, is my shepherd.
All right, James. You excited?
I am.
You know what are you excited about?
You know what today kicks off?
What is today kicks off?
Polar Escape Weekend.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Sold out
Polar Escape Weekend. Okay. We're going to have fun.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, there's going to be an ugly sweater contest.
There are so many things I would like to say. Like, we were at Walmart a couple weeks ago, and they have racks of not only ugly sweaters, but like ugly dresses.
Ugly everything.
Like, that are made out of the same material as an ugly sweater. So, okay.
This is just a sweater.
That was way more information than they wanted to know.
That's just one thing that's going to be taking place throughout the weekend. It is sold out, as you said, but we do have our third annual Christmas tree lighting on the evening of the 10th, starting at 7 p.m. It's Anchor Bible Church. I remembered it because it's ABC. Anchor Bible Church will be here providing worship, and there's going to be a whole array of activities taking place that night. So please, for the entirety of the weekend, be praying for those that are going to be in attendance. And then if you want to come out for the 10th, please do.
Awesome.
For the following week, we have Girl Talk on the 14th, and Jennifer Sands is going to be here sharing the message. And the theme of this Girl Talk is... I mentioned it.
It's about lighting up the world.
It's believing we are who he says we are.
Okay.
Who you say I am. I am who you say I am.
Okay.
That's a song, right?
It is. Okay.
So that's the 14th.
Yeah, and Jennifer Sands is an amazing communicator, and I don't want to do a spoiler alert, but Jennifer usually gets dressed up for the occasion.
Okay.
So.
I think I can remember some of the previous ones.
Yeah,
bright colors.
This one's going to be quite unique.
Am I thinking correctly?
It's going to be very unique.
Amen to that.
So you don't want to miss it.
Crafters
will be here.
Yeah.
Joyce Hayes, Seattle, will be leading us in worship. It's going to be a great day.
Absolutely.
Ladies, come out and enjoy the last Girl Talk of 2022.
Yeah, if you want to register or come on out, you can call us at 1-800-453-7942. Visit the website at www.americaskeswick.org. The following evening is our Beyond Youth Night, which is really, really a special night. I would say local youth groups, but it's not always super local. Any youth group can come on out for $10 per youth group, Bill. $10 per youth group. So we always want to say that. It's such a meaningful night. It's such an opportunity for the youth to come out and experience fellowship, a night of worship, a night of hearing the word be preached. And it's going to be really special on the night of the 15th. And then we have our New Year's Eve conference coming up.
New Year's Eve,
yep.
We have the Rick Webb Family Singers are going to be sharing a dinner concert with us. Dr. Roger Wilmore will be sharing the Word of God for us at our Watch Night service, which goes to midnight. Then there's a big ice cream celebration afterwards for our guests that are on campus. Then New Year's Day. We have the first message of 2023, hard to believe.
Yeah.
So all that information is available on our website. Before I give you that information, two things I want to share with you. Number one, December is the time of the year when we ask you to consider a year-end gift for the ministry. Our desire is to end 2022 in the black. So if you would consider a year-end gift, would you please help us today? 1-800-453-7942 or visit our website www.americaskeswick.org. Donate now. When you call or visit the website, you can ask for a copy of our 2023 Bible reading plan. In 2023, our theme is Anchored
Faithful Through the Ages.
100th year of Bible conference ministry. We're going to be reading through the Bible chronologically. And so if you've never done that with us, I'd love to have you join us. You can get that online or call for a copy. Now you're going to get to enjoy a weekend, but please come back on Monday at 1:30 for the Worship Live podcast. Have a great weekend. God bless.